something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we could keep in touch. Like they did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago. Oh, and I wish you well. Oh, sign your pen pal.
Folks, that is our theme song. It's won several awards, mm-hmm. and it was written by Patrick Keenan from The Winter Sounds. If you do not know that band, get on Spotify, beautiful. Check out their albums. He is a wonderful man. They are a wonderful band. And from Daniel Van Kirk and Roy Scoville, we just want to say thank you for being here and welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Here we are.
We're on Team Coco. This is the first Team Coco episode.
This is the first Team Coco episode. You obviously know by now who our magical guest is mm-hmm. going to be today. But before we get to that,
If you are already a penny and a paler of ours, maybe you've hung with us for a long time. Thanks
now, Daniel,
so much
what
for
is a penny
here.
And a paler?
A penny and a paler. A penny is somebody who's listened to a lot of episodes and is a great fan and enjoyer of the show, just like we are. And mm-hmm. then a paler is somebody who's listened to every single episode.
Now, Daniel, I'm new here. This is my first episode.
I feel like we're in an infomercial. Let me pour a pitcher of lemonade.
Where can I find past episodes so that I can catch up and become
anywhere
a paler?
Anywhere you listen to your audio enjoyment in the podcast form.
Yeah.
You can find them all right there. You can hear so many letters. And if you're somebody who's new, as Rory already said, welcome. This is your podcast. We just talk about it. We have friends of ours that are going to be pen pals of yours, just like we are. They come on. We talk about whatever you send us a letter about. And you can do that by emailing thepenpalspod@gmail.com. You can send us a letter about how you feel about cold cut meats. You could send us a letter about the fact that you still think you can parent trap your parents into getting back together.
Ghost stories.
Yes.
Things you do as on family vacation.
The time truly, you considered robbing a bank.
Yes.
But hopefully didn't do it. Or got away with it.
Any topic you can think of is welcome on this show.
Agreed.
Hit us up. That's going to be thepenpalspod@gmail.com. And also, when you sign off in your letter, let us know if we can say your real name or sign off with, you know, a pseudonym.
Sure.
Is it pseudonym?
Yeah.
Do you ever go say pseudonym and then wonder if you meant synonym or cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
Or cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Or synchronized swimming?
Or synchronized swimming.
I also will encourage everybody, if you haven't done already, maybe you've been a penny and a pound for a long time, or you're brand new to this show, do us a favor because it helps us and it will help you because you won't miss an episode. Rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And if you leave us a little review, 5 stars preferred. Otherwise, why are you even there? Don't go to bars you don't want to drink at.
That's right.
Feel free to ask us a little question in the review. There might be episodes every once in a while where we read some reviews and maybe we'll give you a quick Pen Pals correspondent. And also, I want to do this.
Hashtag.
What?
Grow the show.
Well, that too. But I was going to say postmark your review. Like, let us know where you are writing it from. And then grow the show. Hashtag grow the show.
And hashtag grow the show. Grow the show just means, you know, if you like this and you go, you know, I like these two cackling idiots talking into microphones, reading our letters that we've written him.
Yeah.
The two hymns.
Two hymns.
Is that our band?
Well, that was our Christian rock band.
Is that our Christian rock band?
Yeah, the two hymns.
Get out.
No, I'm getting in.
This community of Pennies and Pallards is much bigger than you may expect. I know that it always blows my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be it. Should we get to the guest?
I mean, if there's something you love, chances are Casey Wilson is in it.
That is exactly right.
She's phenomenal. She's funny. She's heartfelt. She's great. And I'm so glad that she's our first guest. Should we go?
Let's go to the guest. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, joining us at our new home, Team Coco's Pen Pals.
What a great way to kick it off.
This is an amazing way to kick it off, and we're so happy and grateful that she took the time to be here today. You have seen her and can currently see her on Showtime's Black Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You have seen her on Happy Endings, and she now has a brand new memoir out that is absolutely fantastic. It is called The Wreckage of My Presence. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our first guest at Team Coco's Pen Pals, Casey Wilson.
Hi, Casey.
Hello. What an intro. An intro for the ages. Hello. And congratulations on being with Team Coco. I'm honored.
This is so great for us. I just want to say very quickly, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but I am listening to you read your book to me, and I've never done that before, and it is such a wonderfully intimate personal experience that I absolutely love it when you feel like someone is just specifically telling you their memoir.
I did just record it for you.
Yeah, right.
I did not put out an audiobook, but I did send it to you. No, thank you so much for listening to it. It was so fun to do, and I so appreciate it.
I absolutely love it. And so, I guess we're going to do what we always do.
Can we just talk about how you stole every scene in Gone Girl that you were in?
Those few scenes, very limited.
Come on.
Thank you.
I do like a little online movie club thing, and somebody wanted to do Gone Girl, so we watched it, and you took up way more time talking about in the movie than you probably think you did. Because you were just phenomenal in it.
So, oh my gosh, I've never been so delighted to hear that. I always am embarrassed about that movie only because I was like, I'm in a big movie. I'm going to get a dialect coach. This is in Missouri and it's in the bowels of Missouri. I will come correct with my accent. And I paid a lot of money with this dialect coach. I show up on set and no one else is doing a dialect by any means. And they're certainly not doing a Southern one.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Which is what I came with inexplicably.
That didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That no one was speaking like they were southwest of St. Louis.
No, they didn't. And again, I did say to the dialect coach, it does sound Southern what I'm hearing, you know, and what I'm doing. And he's like, I swear to you, this is what this town sounds like. But then we also stayed in that town and I didn't hear it too much. But there I am. And it was a choice. And David Fincher was just like, yeah, just do it. I was like, okay. Oh. As all the greats come to their roles, just do it.
Oh, I loved it. I thought you were phenomenal. You want to go?
Should we go?
Yeah.
Let's go to the letters.
Oh, it's so good. Do you feel that energy, Casey?
I really do. It feels like more energy even over here at Team Coco.
You guys jogged. You guys jogged over. I sauntered.
All right. I'm going to go. Is it okay if I go first?
Is it you?
Yeah.
Reach up there and grab a letter.
Okay, here we go. Good job, Rory. Ready?
Yes.
Dear Pencil Buds, which is, I guess, one of our AKAs.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Cute.
I've been wanting to write in Again, I've written in before with a somewhat similar experience, but I'm currently listening to the episode titled First Date and Back to the Future. We did that a little bit ago. Feel free to go check it out. And I was inspired to write in right now because, like Brandon, I have a 10-year relationship behind me. Dan saying that there are some people who appreciate the honesty of being told about that past relationship and that some people see it as a red flag hit my anxiety about talking about my past relationship right on the head. The 10-year ended in October of 2019, so I had a few months of depressed single life, dating attempts, and coming into my own before the pandemic hit. While locked down, I just worked out, hung out with my roommates. Any thought of romance was dead until recently. I love any time you guys give dating romance advice and enjoy your perspectives and humor about it so much.
Don't you wish you could also say you worked out a ton during the pandemic?
I know.
As soon as I read that, I was like, oh, that was also one of my goals.
Right. I worked out, ignored my children.
Yeah. Hung out with my roommates, my wife and daughter.
Okay, so here we go. Ready? I recently had a magical weekend with someone special that I still think about and not quite sure what to do about it, if there's even anything to do at all. We met at a mutual friend's party. Everyone vaxxed, of course. She came up to talk. I know our new caveat. Everyone's caveat. What did you guys do this weekend?
I got coffee this morning. I'm vaxxed.
Yeah. I was walking recently. Can I sidestep our letter?
Sidestep it.
I was walking in Chicago recently. I passed a mother and daughter. I was in a big hurry to get to a place before it closed. I'm walking in this Chicago neighborhood. I get about 5 steps past them and I feel a sneeze, and they're only going to be walking behind whatever I deposit into the world. Right. And so I'm squeezing that nerve between your like index finger and your thumb. And I am just trying. I'm like anytime I've done theater and you feel like a sneeze coming, you do everything in your power. Right. And so I'm like walking, I get maybe 3 more steps and I sneeze like an uncle.
You didn't try to do it into your shirt or like into your sleeve?
No, I should have.
I sneeze like that in a normal world.
Yeah, that's
like
the bare minimum we've learned from this pandemic.
No, I take it. I must have, because there's no way.
My 3-year-old does that.
But I think I was still preoccupied with what I had just, like, I want to say this. I sneezed like an uncle getting ready for church. Like, it was.
Where it alarms everyone. It takes everyone aback.
Yes.
It's always an uncle. Always. Like, they just can't seem to get it.
Because they do a thing at the end of a sneeze, or like, they'll sneeze like, woo, like at the end of it.
Yeah.
And so I big sneeze and I turn around and they both stopped.
Yeah.
And I just go double vaxxed since March. So vaxxed.
Got to get to Jimmy John's. And then you ran off.
I'm there for the free smells. Anyway, it's our new, it's everybody. It's, I don't even know if I'm using the right word, right? It's everybody's caveat, right? Like, yeah. They duck a little out to be like fully vaxxed. Everybody's vaxxed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You got to put it out there.
Vaxx into this vax. So we met at a mutual friend's party. Everyone vaxxed, of course. She came up to talk to me. We seemed to hit it off. So I decided mid conversation to ask if she would like to go out sometime. And she said, yes. I was honest upfront about the 10-year relationship I had just gotten out of, and she revealed that she had just broken up with her boyfriend of 3 years earlier that week. We continued to hang out at the party, ended up making out on a balcony, heading back to her hotel. Yes, hotel, because she was visiting from New York for work, so I knew our time was limited up front, and neither of us had any misconception that this was going to be something other than a fun fling. We had our date a day later, and it was so great, all caps on that great, so great, all caps again, too great, all caps again. we spent the following day together as well as that night. As we were talking, she asked, what are you going to do when I'm gone? And from my gut, I exclaimed, fucking cry. And tears began to pour down my face. Oh, dramatic. Oh. I know. I was missing her already, and she was sitting in front of me. We joked through it, I bet, and still managed to have a good rest of the night. I drove her to the airport a day later and had a sweet goodbye. We haven't talked much since. To which I say, no shit. I'm trying to play it cool, not be clingy or desperate, and give her space. I think the crying resulted from a few things. Being fresh out of the pandemic, feeling things for the first time in a year, I tend to attach quickly. First good dating experience maybe ever, but did I blow it? Is the crying a terrible red flag? I've been assured by friends that feelings are feelings and nothing wrong with, and there's nothing wrong with them, and as long as she didn't freak out, it's okay. I still feel like it was too much to put on someone after only knowing them for 3 days, but like I said, it came from the gut and just poured out. It's hard to gauge because of my limited and sparse experience, but this felt like a really special connection. I'm not really sure what I'm asking by writing this, but just wanted to get your perspective on how quickly you can get attached to someone. I'll read that with the question mark it deserved. And just wanted to get your perspective on how quickly you can get attached to someone. So many more details, but but wanted to keep it brief. I appreciate you guys, Nuno, Lissa, and all the pennies and pallers. Also their new pen pal, Casey. I forgot what fake name I used the last time I wrote in, but let's just say sincerely, your pal, Eric.
Guys, I need to say something right off the bat.
Say anything.
Yeah.
I am crying from this letter.
Are you truly crying?
My mother's grave, I have tears in my eyes.
Oh my gosh.
You do?
I don't know if it's that I had a cornea surgery and I'm recovering. I don't know if I'm fresh off the pandemic.
I think
but
you
I've
and
been
Eric.
There.
I think you and Eric are connecting
I've
right now.
I've been there. If you do something, it's just too emotional. And my response is too emotional. So I'm right there with Eric with
it's
too emotional of a response.
Yeah. But here's what Eric wrote.
It touched me.
But it was a whirlwind. It was a whirlwind.
It was a movie.
Nora Ephron, like,
this was a movie.
Whirlwind romance. I'm out of this. But also, I love that he's worried about his red flag. Like, she just broke up with somebody 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Everybody's got red flags. It's just about can you swim past them? Or should you swim past them?
Or how much do you like flags? You know, some people are flag people.
Right.
And they go, that was a red flag. I love that color. I love that object.
I'll go right toward a red flag. I'll run right to it.
Right
like
into
a bull.
It.
I'm like a right bull with it. A red flag. Yeah. Casey, Rory.
Yes.
Nobody ever talks about, and I would assume it would be this, white flags. Like nobody's ever went on a date with this guy. He described what his family does for Christmas. Total white flag. My family does the same thing.
Right.
Like, no one ever says like what they're looking
isn't
for.
Isn't a white flag when you're surrendering?
But isn't a red flag stop? Isn't a white flag like, come on, we're not, no aggression here?
A white flag is I give up.
Yeah, but so what should it be? Green flag?
I don't know.
It's a go, right? Green
flag. Yeah, checkered, I think a green checkered flag. Is like,
can we bring green flags? Like, I went on a date with a person, right? I was kind of nervous about holding hands. They held my hand. I'm like, green flag.
Maybe this girl was ignoring some green flags from Eric.
Yeah. Yes,
and there were some red flags on Eric's end. Let's be honest.
Look, here's the thing. I know this is a Dr. Seuss quote.
Okay,
problematic. But
God.
The fact that
green flags in him.
Green,
I'm sorry.
green and red flag on Dr.
Green and red flags. Yeah. But the fact, you know, don't be sad it's over. Be happy it happened all. Something like that. The fact that you got to make out on a balcony, I cannot describe to you how special that truly is.
That seemed to really hit you.
You're just out of a pandemic. You're in New York at a party.
No,
that already sounds...
Here. Eric's here. She's here from
New York.
They're
in L.A.
She's here from... You're in L.A. You're in a major city.
Sure, you're on a balcony. That's
balcony.
You're on a balcony.
Yeah, you're at a party. Everyone's vaccinated. Hello. And you met someone and they're like, look, I'm here for a few days. Do you want to make this happen? I mean, I understand the emotions and you're definitely right to have them, but you do have to take a step back and go, this was such a special, just this time, this moment in time. This is probably not the person for, and I'm obviously saying some things that I think are maybe going to make you feel better about this, but there is a world where this, you will have, you've come out of a 10-year relationship. You might have a lot of these. And I think instead of being upset, I think really celebrate the fact that these moments are happening. Because for me, it reconfirms you're a great person. There are people that are attracted to your energy. They're attracted to you physically. They're attracted to you in a romantic, intimate way. They're attracted to you socially. I have a feeling you're going to experience a lot of these, and I'm only addressing this because I think I attach too quickly as well. I said I love you to my wife 2 weeks into dating, and it terrified her.
But green flag. It
we're together.
Out.
Green yeah. flag. We're hitting our checkered flag. Very kind of red. Even when I said it, she was like, what? And I was like, you don't have to say it back.
She's like, I'm not going to.
I immediately was backpedaling of like, I'm just kidding. I really like you. But I attach too quickly, so I do understand that. But I'm only saying this out there because I think you're going to run into more of these. And I think instead of making them emotionally exhausting every time, because you might experience these big feelings, I think it's worth stepping back and going, maybe I'm going to get a bunch of these moments. Maybe I'm going to have a lot of these connections, and I can only put so much into it. Or just say, hey, I'm on a wave. Wherever this wave goes, that's where it goes. And not get so into, hey, I just met you, but I already want to picture what our life is going to be like in a year. It's hard to do that when you are someone who quickly attaches to someone. But I'm only saying, coming out of a 10-year relationship, be but cautious, also, go easy.
I think some of his emotions were kind of dammed up, and the dam opened up.
And
when
pandemic,
that happens,
sure.
like you, a lot comes out.
Yes.
It's also, you guys call me out. Casey, call me out on this. I feel a little bit like it's an analogy for physical therapy. Like when you see someone learning to walk again, that's not where they're going to walk around the rest of their life. That's just the place
that's
where
when they're
they
like shuffling down the hallway with
yes.
the therapist.
And so like this was sort of like a little physical therapy for relationships. This isn't like the big, you're not running a marathon here. This is just a few days of just kind of getting back in the saddle, to keep conflating my analogies to like, but I also
get
mean
back
what
on
I'm saying.
Therapist bed. yeah.
But I also like really mean what I'm saying. Like you're saying, like, look at this as like, wow. Wow, this was a physical therapy session, but for my heart, for my emotions.
Yes.
Or I kind of got a little bit of it, and it went a little too hard. Maybe I haven't really found my rhythm again, and my emotions were a little bit more out there than I would have liked them to be. Not that
yes.
there's anything wrong with them, but and you just kind of go, oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the dynamic world is coming back, right? We just spent over a year being in a stagnant world, if you were doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you can be overwhelmed by the dynamics of the universe. You met this person and you stood on a balcony and then you kissed, and you even say mid conversation, you were just like, hey, Zach Morris, time out. Do you want to go on a date? Like, you just say it.
God, I love all that.
Mm-hmm. Either you're into it.
I don't have that in me.
I also think that it is a metaphor for the pandemic, in that it's the pandemic and she are very similar. It's like we're coming out of this thing and we are having we're in a transitionary period.
Yeah.
I think this girl is that as well. And I just think weird things are kind of happening, and we're all just kind of like, am I wearing my mask? Am I in? Am I out? Where am I? And we still want so badly to land on our feet after this. And I don't know, but all I'll say is I agree with both of what you're both saying, but as someone who attaches too quickly and really can put a lot on a little,
uh-huh.
I think it's hard to hear that, because even still, I do feel Eric listening to this is like, but could it still work?
That's what I was going to ask you, Casey, yeah. was that if you're her or you're just on the receiving end of that
yeah.
at all, like, are you like, whoa, buddy?
I think I'm a little like, whoa.
Because the tears?
But I am a little, because I just think it's human nature. We want people who push us away. And I will not quote that very red flag man who discusses that club. But I think that it is human nature to kind of, I think when people come close to us, and that's what's terrible about human nature. I think we'd all love to be the people that are like, when someone came toward me and I went toward them full throttle.
Right.
But like, I had to chase my husband for so long. It was horrifying. Horrible.
And you're still chasing.
Go into the bathroom, but when I and I missed him, and I would say I missed you when you're in the bathroom. And these aren't things people want to hear.
Wait. How early in the relationship were you like, missed you when you were in there?
Very early.
Casey.
We had known each other for a long time, but all to say, I'm with you, Eric. So if I'm being critical, it's I see this in myself.
Sure. Yeah. It's coming from a lived perspective.
I think I'd like that. I think
you want to be bathroom missed?
I think if I was bathroom missed, I'd be like, You know, I'd have that. Aww.
But would you then be in the bathroom and be like, I got to hurry up in here because I'm hurting her.
She's too fragile out there on the bed.
I'm hurting her. I've been done for 10 minutes. I'm scrolling Instagram.
Also, guys.
I got to get out of here.
Look, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
All of us know about airports and LA.
We've heard of them. Yeah.
Is there any part of her that was like, whoa, but I need this ride tomorrow morning to the airport?
Oh, no. So no.
She's like, it's cool, but we do need to leave at 8:15 tomorrow.
I have to check a bag.
So we do,
do have to check a bag.
Do we do? Also,
here's
can I say,
where the biggest red flag is. If with love, like, and if anyone was into anyone, they would have been still talking. This is all we have our answer.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just it. Especially women. She would be calling. She would be interested. There would be communication. She would be making up reasons. There'd right, be a lot.
Also, but Casey, also, don't you think it's entirely possible? Rory, you too. Don't you think it's entirely possible that there is very likely a world in which he never has an emotional release outburst? Right.
Sure.
And she still kind of goes a little MIA.
1,000%.
And he yes. goes, hey, we had a really strong connection and I never cried or anything. And so I can't figure it out.
He points out that he didn't cry.
And she could go, oh, no, yeah, we did. But like, you got out of a thing. I had just broke up with somebody a week ago. I was there visiting friends. We had hotel life. Hotel life is never real. So yeah. like, hotel. Yeah, we just had a good... We just had a good hotel time.
I bet she also is like still texting with the old guy. Like, I bet a lot's going on.
Of course, of course. And I think, and
that's
and,
why Rory's saying, like, in that moment, yeah. love that it happened.
Don't I think so. Because I think also this is the beauty of what this is that, and I hate that it does feel like movies and TV shows put it into our mind what the expectation is of these moments and how they're supposed to unravel. And that's how you meet the one, but realistically, isn't there something just
which
so
you've contributed
beautiful?
To Roy with your work in romantic comedies?
I know I'm a part
so
of the problem.
Take,
I know
take
that
responsibility when you,
I take 100% responsibility, but there is this part of me that thinks, you know, these beautiful moments to really start seeing them as these beautiful moments and knowing that, two people, sometimes you just connect for this very brief period of time and that you both want something different and there isn't enough time in this space to maybe find out that you're wonderful together or maybe find out that you're actually an impossible relationship and you could never fucking work. There's something beautiful about knowing that, let's say that the two of them are truly impossible and would be the worst two people in a couple you've ever seen.
Right. Like
there's something
like outside
beautiful
of the hotel.
About knowing that even two people in that position can have 2 days together.
Three
that can be romantically beautiful. Yeah. And it's romantically beautiful because they're not looking at each other.
That's
going,
where I lived.
I hope we have children at the end of this.
Right.
I think if you can not go into it with that expectation, you can walk away from it feeling so much better and more excited and willing to accept the beauty of the next one that's going to come that maybe lasts for 3 weeks or maybe lasts for
baby
a
steps.
Month or potentially out of nowhere because you weren't looking for it anymore becomes the one that lasts the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. And I think the ego, we want the choice, you know, we want the choice to be the one to say no. But I think where you are, I love what you're saying, Rory. That's very beautiful. It's like sometimes we're just meant to connect. In the same way when people get divorced, I sometimes think, why is it bad? They had those years together.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like this failure. You know,
like some
you connected
can look
for
at
that
it.
Time.
Yeah. Exactly. Like some people look at it and be like, you were the best person for me in my 30s.
Yes.
And I'm so glad I had that decade.
I bet
with
I cheated
you.
On you. Yes.
Well, I mean, red flag, green flag, but like, yeah, that there's a time to be able to look at it and be like, wow, that was a great time we had in each other's life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I say one last quick thing?
Of course.
Are we in agreement that When Harry Met Sally is the greatest rom-com of all time?
I do like it.
Okay. Yeah. Close second for me is Return to Me, but that's a whole other story. So, I think that's part of the magic of that movie is that they kept coming in and out of each other's lives without it ever seeming like it was going to happen. I mean, that time they see each other in the airport, he recognizes her boyfriend and just walks away. And it's like the universe was like, if this is going to happen, it'll happen. But neither one of them could like force it. It was like, no, we had that time in that diner.
Yeah.
And then we had that time at that bookstore. And it was just kind of like, well, sometimes that's just good enough. Now, who knows, you know, Eric, I'm not trying to get you all worked up again, but in 6 years, you could run into her again at New York or at something and be like, oh my God, do you want to get dinner? And then maybe you'll have another 2 days, or maybe you'll have 2 years, or maybe you'll have 20 minutes.
Yes.
Can I piggyback onto that very quickly? My final thought,
course,
and it's going to get a bit
more
kooky.
Yeah.
No, go for it.
It's really going to get very weird, and I hope everyone's okay with this.
I already really like it.
Okay. So when I was pursuing my husband, he wanted nothing to do with it. I stumbled upon, by that I mean I went to the bookstore in the self-help section, and I got a book called The Power of Change.
Okay, I'm out.
By former presidential candidate Marianne Williamson. The Gift of Change, excuse me.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Now, just go with me, everybody. Not talking at this juncture about Jesus, okay? I'm talking about spirituality and the universe, okay?
Which means whenever someone says that, they are about to talk about Jesus.
Now, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No. So there is a... Hear me out, everybody. I know what you're thinking. At that time, I was so into him. I did not know. I was like, I will die if this person doesn't like me. So I was so desperate. And in my head, and of course, that's going to repel someone. So to your point about the universe, when Harry met Sally and accepting what that was, there is a prayer in that book. And basically what you say is you just say, I'm turning this relationship over to the universe. I'm releasing it 100% completely. May this relationship take the form that is of the highest good for both of us. And something about saying this prayer released this person. When I tell you a year later, we were engaged. And I'm just going to leave it there. It's very weird, but sometimes you just literally have to release something.
I think it's beautiful.
I think it also allowed you to just put it into neutral and go down the hill.
Yes.
Like you were like, I'm me, you're you.
Stop being a messy victim about it.
Right.
Yes.
No one wants a bathroom door knock that many times. Do you need in here? No, I just need to know you're in there.
I'm still in here scrolling. My final thoughts very quickly on
I love that, Casey. I really do love that.
I love it so much. And I think it goes hand in hand with what you said about divorce. Like I'm 40 now. I'm certainly not even close to who I was at 20. I'm certainly not looking for the same thing in someone when I was 20 in a relationship. Sure. The reason I'm in a successful relationship now is because my wife and I have grown. Like, it's truly insane that any marriage really works, mm-hmm. but we have grown together as friends and we still enjoy mm-hmm. company. Do I sit here and go, it will always be this way? No, I want it to be this way. So, you know, we both work at it, but there's a reality that one day something happens and something changes and we're not who we are. And then I just want to say this, Eric, in closing on the crying, I want to say, don't ever not do that. Because if your experience in that moment and your emotion in that moment is to cry, what you're offering to that person is absolute honesty about what you're feeling
and to
in
yourself.
That moment. And that is the thing that is going to cause the experience with whoever. Someone is going to go, I really appreciated and loved how honest he was in that moment with mm-hmm. his emotions. And that is going to be the spark that starts a great foundation in your relationship. So if you deny it and you go, oh, I don't want to cry because I don't want to freak this person out, freak somebody out. Yep. Who cares? You're so great that even when you freak that person out, they still are like, let's make a joke and let's keep hanging out.
And trust me, partner or no partner for your life, you should always rather be open than closed.
I think
But
so.
All like, the same, let's get the crying under control.
Let's get it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, Eric.
Good luck, Eric.
Thank you so much for this great first letter with Team Coco and Casey, your new pen pal. Thank you. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel, and
Casey Rose Wilson.
And we are back.
We're back.
Folks, you heard it in the introduction, and we just want to talk about it briefly, but our guest today is Casey Wilson, who you know and has a fantastic new memoir, a book out. Do you say a memoir or a book? Like, are those do you say them as the same thing?
I say memoir because it seems so ridiculous to have a memoir, but it's really just, speaking of Nora Ephron, a kind of collection of comedic essays. And I was inspired by her for them, largely.
I love it. I am doing
The Wreckage of My Presence.
I'm doing the audiobook. It's The Wreckage of My Presence. Casey Wilson is personally reading it to me. She comes over and reads this book. It is so expensive what I'm paying for this experience. She is vaxxed. Everyone's good.
Vaxxed, fully vaxxed.
But I just want to say it, as someone who's listening to it, it truly is so great. And I'm always astounded by people's their memory of
their experiences, because I feel like maybe I've just smoked too much pot in my life and I can't remember details.
I was going to ask her this too. But did you feel like once you started opening up a whole bunch of mental boxes that you maybe didn't feel like you had ready to go, or maybe when you outlined it, or just kind of started, I guess the process of you doing it is what I'm asking.
Did it jar?
Yeah. You end up finding way more than you thought you would in the process of doing it?
You know, I have just always, and this is not, I don't think it is bragging. I've just always had a good memory. And these stories have been so burned into my brain as horrifying events or just unbelievable, funny things. I mean, my brother was saying, he's like, he posted something on Facebook about the book, and he just said, if you have met Casey since second grade, like, you just get ready. She will have remembered the weird thing you said and it will appear.
I am so astonished by that. I'm also so jealous of it, because it truly puts you there in someone else's experience, but also the way that you remember it and the way that you tell it, and specifically, you know, make it this very entertaining story, essays, as you say. It's so great. It's truly like someone is just telling you, like, oh, here's a, like, whenever someone chimes in and goes, oh, I have a story. It's like that feeling when someone tells you a good story and they go, this is a story from my life. If you haven't heard it, to our listeners, you need to. It is called The Wreckage of My Presence. And I'm currently listening to it, and it is awesome. It's truly really great.
Yeah. The way to keep it fun and entertaining while also going like super like personal about like your loss and things like that. I just
the vulnerability.
Yeah, but
Casey.
Also like it's like more, I don't know. I like how it's like entertaining at the same time. Does that make
sense?
Yeah,
I did kind of want to do I don't think darker is the word, but just talk about grief and loss and everything, but obviously make it humorous. But some of those books, and this is with no knock in them, I absolutely love this genre. They're more comedic and I just thought, I think I'm going to just try to tell my story. And it ended up being, I guess is what I'm saying, a bit more heartfelt maybe than I had thought going into it. Because I'm like, I do comedy and this is just going to be funny. And so it kind of took its own course in that way.
But yeah. I think that's why also, like, we're so glad to have you be a pen pal with us and part of our first episode, because so much of this show is kind of the same thing. Like, we will go to like very heartfelt and sincere places, but then just because of the nature of who we are and also like who you are, it's going to inherently have some comedy to it, because that's how we made it this far.
We can't not be funny, guys.
It's true.
We've tried.
We have tried. And a few people have accused us, but they're liars of us ever not being.
That's true. They are liars.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Of course.
Absolutely. All right, here we go. This is our second letter of the episode, and it comes to us from a very special friend. Hello, boys. Mm-hmm. Sounds very...
Sexist?
Sounds aggressive.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a line from Chicago.
Hello, boys.
Hello, world.
It's been a while since I wrote in. Mm-hmm. It's Adam Shanley here. For all of our new listeners that are just joining us, Adam Shanley is a fixture on this show.
He's the
keeper of the compendium of all the hashtags, the ridiculous hashtags that we do. But he also... runs the Facebook page that we never told him he was allowed to do.
Nope.
Okay.
But he's like a pillar of the community.
He's a pillar of the community. And you're going to get to hear him. Going to get right to the point. Depression fucking sucks. It's real and it sucks. Or maybe it's just that being an adult sucks. I don't know. Maybe I just expect that life should occasionally be filled with things and seasons that bring me joy. And I remember being a kid and having that time around Christmas when everything felt magical, or in the summer when the days would last forever and there was always something to look forward to. My family used to have picnics and big family dinner every Sunday. We're Sicilian on my mom's side. And birthday parties and just visiting with family. Why did he need to tell us about the Sicilian? Is he rubbing it in our faces?
Yeah.
Now, my grandparents are... Why did I say that? Now, my grandparents are gone. My family is scattered throughout the country, and those gatherings and those times that feel special are completely gone from my life. I haven't felt that feeling in so long, and it's depressing as fuck. Literally, I'm depressed. Clinically, my body hurts. I'm easily agitated. All of that.
Just wanted to check in and say that maybe the after pandemic is going to be worse than the pandemic. Also wanted to write in because I haven't in a long time. Anyways, you ever had a meatball sub? Sincerely, your paler, Adam Shanley. Toast script. Now I'm reading this back and telling myself I shouldn't send this, but I'm a gonna. The Shan Man.
You want to work backwards?
Let's work backwards.
Casey, you ever have a meatball sub?
No, I haven't.
What? What is that?
I don't think I have, and I love meatballs.
We talk about meatball subs.
Rory has an Adirondack.
It's called an Aranca.
Okay.
And it's a meatball sub with mayonnaise on it from Subway. Why? Do with that what you will.
No, I know that.
I won't be doing much with it.
No, don't do anything. Don't do anything with it. But I will say in college that was a go-to, and it was fun. We've had listeners try it, and they have backed it.
I've never had it. Hey, do you have a weird sandwich order, Casey?
No,
people think
I'm
weird
like
because I put
cheese.
Pickles on a sandwich. What'd you say? Sorry.
I just like a turkey cheese. You know, nothing weird. But I do love a Jimmy John's, as aforementioned.
Pretty smells.
First off, Shanley, sorry about the depression. I can't do anything about it. I can somewhat relate to it in the many ways that there are these small depressions that I think we all feel. And then there's also massive ones that some people feel. And then there's the extremely overwhelming. I feel like there's very different stages of depression. But I did pick this letter because I do relate to that type of depression you're talking about being an adult and your perception of what the world and life is, because you definitely transition out of, you know, it almost feels like a wonderland once you start to realize what the world actually is. Mm. And we start to realize how it actually operates. And you think about injustices or how we got here, or the systems that are in place that you had nothing to do with that define your entire reality. It is massively depressing, and it does become difficult to try to figure out, well, how do you navigate the joy in that? With a child, I think about it all the time. I think about how to pass on those joys that I had as a kid, even though those joys have still landed me in a place as someone who is depressed about being an adult and with this perspective.
Do we know how old Adam is?
He's 97, so he's had a good time.
He's had a good run.
Set sail.
How old is Adam?
It's like, dude, you're 97. Your grandparents are going to be gone.
Yeah, they don't live forever, Shanley.
Gone.
Quit bragging that you're Sicilian.
I would guess Adam Shanley is 33 years old.
Okay.
I think that's a good guess.
I'm a fellow Sicilian, so I just have to throw that out there.
When it's the Sicilian thing, is that what he's saying? Is that is just such a commonplace thing? You have a Sunday meal, and that's the Sunday
sauce,
and your grandmother.
Jersey Shore. You know,
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes, I only watch that.
Speaking of Case, that's the best season ever. Real Housewives in New Jersey. That's the best run of that show.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they are real family. So they really had to get together and fight. Whereas all the other runs and versions of the show are contrived, like friendship gatherings where then someone can be mad. But Real Housewives of New Jersey was like, well, you guys already, you're getting together every Sunday anyway, so we have no production costs on this show. We just have to love you
all. We just watch you all fight about the most dark things of all time. Yes.
Right. Okay, yes. Good. I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
100%.
Well, what are your guys' relation to that specific type of, like, I understand the question here, where you're going to, what's your relation to that specific type of depression? Because is it depression, or is that this specifically about just getting older? Is it just getting older? Is it truly just being an adult where you go, oh, you're not necessarily depressed. This is just you're facing reality, which is depressing.
I think it's that mixed with the pandemic ending. My therapist told me that her clients have been almost more depressed coming out of it because it's the same as any PTSD. You know, like when you're in a trauma, you're not processing it.
Yeah.
And similarly, she said there's been a lot of grief post-election for people, which is like you're out of a fight or flight and you're sort of now just emotions are dropping in on people of like, oh, this is what my body was going through for people that had perhaps like a more traumatic or tough pandemic topic. So I'm just reporting that this is probably, as my therapist, Dr. Myers, would also say, it's in the marinade.
Ooh.
Oh. Ooh.
Hashtag in the marinade.
In the marinade. Can we take that? Can that be a hashtag?
Yes. Please.
We're stealing from her doctor.
I was just having this conversation with some family members of mine saying that, like, when you're a child, everything is highlights, right? Like, it's birthday parties, it's summer, it's roller coasters, theme parks, yes. Fireworks.
Yes.
Like, it's Christmas. Like, you kind of live in highlights. And yeah. then when you get older, you start to see the daily grind of life. And a lot of people kind of go one, like they constantly are, like we all have friends who are like constantly traveling or like, I can't believe you guys went away for 2 days to Paris or whatever. Like, well, once we got there, we knew we'd have 12 hours and we just made the most of it and then we came back. Like there are people who like, I know.
Who is this friend?
Who are these people?
I have a cousin who did that.
Oh my God.
But part of me was like, good for you. Like,
that's who makes out on a balcony. That's right.
That is right.
And so I think for some people though, like I remember my family was so close growing up. I remember thinking like, how would we ever not be close? And then into my 20s and then in my 30s, I started to see like branches go off in different ways and some branches fall off entirely and be like, oh, this is kind of how it happens.
Then there's QAnon. That's going to take some people.
But I'm just saying, I think it's also
a few of them.
It's going to take a few down.
But I think it's also cyclical. So for as much as Adam could be like, man, we kind of had all this togetherness, you know, who's to say that in 10 years, maybe you have some nieces and nephews, or maybe if you want, you have children of your own, and then eventually they have kids, and you kind of get
then
back into
where...
Then
you get more depressed, then yeah. come out of it a little.
Yeah. But I think that it's kind of a thing of, like, transitioning from childhood and, like, I don't even think about what my future is going to be like to, wow, I'm part of a grind, and is this the life I wanted, or where are all the good times I felt like were happening all the time, but you just were too... You don't know the grind. Remember when you thought summer lasted forever?
I still think that.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you're a big Beach Boys
fan. Dumb. I'm a dumb guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's some of that. I think it's growing up and kind of like being part of the machine of the world and life.
To me, it sounds also just like chemical depression, to be honest.
Of course.
Like, I just want to give the basic straight up advice of that I've had to do, which is just get on medication. Because I think if you can't get yourself off the bottom, you then can't do all the things everyone's going to give you advice to do. Like, take a walk. You're like, bitch, if I could take a fucking walk, I would. Mm-hmm. You know, and right. that's just for a specific friend. And I hope she heard that. But who was nice enough to come and sit with me? No, after I had because I had postpartum depression. But there are periods where you're like, you're so in it. I do think I kind of resisted medication and now I'm just such a proponent of it if it can help you. And I don't know what I'm hearing in the letter. And again, I'm not a therapist, but is someone that could possibly be in of needing some medication.
Yes.
And then I just think it'll help you look at the world differently. Then you can then take the steps that I think ultimately make you feel a lot better. But it's hard to take those steps if you're this down
I agree.
In terms of what I'm hearing.
I think so. I think so as well. I think that, I always think that, and Dan and I always say, you know,
of course
that therapy is always such a great, I don't know if it's always the first step. It is definitely an early step to consider in these, situations if you are experiencing that. But I think if specifically talking about those things that you miss as a child, I recently, something that I was going through, that, you know, my father passed away a year ago. And something that I was just recently thinking about was how many siblings I have. My dad worked at the post office, and yet I still can sit here and know that I have all of those highlights that you were talking about. Whereas a kid, oh, life can be these highlights. I feel those too. And I sometimes think, oh man, I have those highlights because my dad created those opportunities for me to have them. And so I think constantly, am I focused on myself and what I want to do to create these highlights as an adult for myself? Or do I want to step back and try to make sure that I'm the same father who, you know, we go and I find my kid's interest and then I lay into it, or I try to generate new interest in other things that she doesn't necessarily know about, to try to create those highlights as well. And I think what happens in specifically of the instance of this paragraph of saying, you know, what happened to all those things that you loved when you were a kid? I think someone was helping create those opportunities for you to experience, specifically with your family, getting together on Sundays. I know that this is not necessarily the case for you, Adam, maybe, but I'm in a position where I go, well, how do I create that? I'm now in charge. I'm now the adult that has to get in touch with everybody to go, hey, we're going to have dinner together on Sunday. We're going to go get some pizzas and we're going to go to a playground, and that's where we're going to have dinner, so we can create that experience of going, oh, what a crazy night out. We put out a blanket and we drink. I'm now listing something I specifically did with friends in Ojai, but we drank some wine and had pizza on a blanket while our kids ran around and played on a playground. And it felt like an amazing experience that we all will remember. I think, and this is, I'm obviously speaking away from the clinical depression version of this, but just the getting older perspective, I think as you get older, you do have to create those opportunities. And I know I've said this before, but a lot of times you're not necessarily creating those opportunities for yourself. Sometimes if you create those opportunities for someone else, you might find so much joy in that experience when you weren't focused on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more for me to hear and for my wife to listen to and know that I said.
She doesn't listen.
She does not like the show.
No, she doesn't like it. No. No, but I think you're right. Like, we are our own memory makers at a certain point. And mm-hmm. I think that's the struggle into adulthood of like, wait, fuck. I think we're all just like, I'm an adult. Like, it's like running through my head a million times a day. Like, even as I'm parenting, I'm like, how did this? Why did this happen? How are we here? But you're right. I think the more rituals and like memories you can make on your own with friends, I think that's really good advice, the better.
I think
there's like agency in your own joy in that way.
Ooh, that's good. I'm not joking. That was agency in your own joy. I'm dead serious. That's really good.
Over your own joy in? I'm not sure.
That's both. Steal that. That's your next special.
Oh, but I think not feeling connected with people, which is what he's saying, is very real. And it can be really, like, really hard.
Yeah. Yes.
We love you, Adam.
And you're Sicilian, and we never knew that. And if we did, you would never be in charge of the Facebook page.
It's a red flag right there.
That is a red flag for us.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam, we love you. If you need someone to talk to, obviously we are here, and you've already written us a letter. But you know that we're here, and we love you. And if you need any help in some way, and I say this in a loving way, but unfortunately you do have my cell phone number and I know that you're going to reach out and I dread that, but I am here for you.
So warm. That was so warm.
That was beautiful.
He knows I love him.
I know.
That was beautiful. He knows. Adam, I'm hoping for the best for you and sending love.
Agreed.
Yeah. Sending love. I think that's the best you can do.
Agreed.
Sending you some love,
and look,
Adam.
Do I want to recommend my book as a balm?
Yeah,
I don't want to have to do this, but it is about depression. And I'm only saying that because it is about the depression and the transition into adulthood. And it's truly not a plug. It's a like way to pass time if you're not feeling well.
Adam, she is.
Can you believe I worked it into?
Well, you, but know, you true, promised but
you,
us
you didn't
before
work
we
it
started
in
recording. You were like, "Watch how I do this." And I didn't know when you were gonna. But
you go, "I'll
no,
show
I
you guys
said it
how
be
you, this
seamless.
Business works."
Yeah, it was.
And it's hard to take advantage of someone's depression to promote a book. It didn't feel good.
Yes,
but I still.
But if
think
there's anyone to take
well.
Advantage of, it's Adam Shanley, and he loves it.
No, but I'm rooting for you, Adam. I just want to say that.
Adam, that is the truth. As two people who are listening to it, reading this book, that is not. You did plug it, but you're right.
For a good reason.
You are right. Yeah. It does fit in this moment.
I mean, I am right.
Perfectly.
When I'm right, I'm right.
You're right, right. Adam, we love you dearly. Reach out when you need us. We are here for you. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and Casey Rose Wilson.
So long ago, I wish you well. Oh, sign your pen.
something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.